this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Whenever Wheeler gets ready here, we'll start this podcast.
Well, I put a mouthful of chips in, and I said, you're on. I'm trying to clear this, so you can start us.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right, hey guys, this is our every 4 year postmortem from the Iowa caucuses.
It is.
It is midnight right now, and I think the flights are leaving the Iowa International, Des Moines International Airport on the way out. So
yes.
We're trying to clear out the fridge before we fly back to Texas ourselves. Wheeler went to Hy-Vee.
I did. So convenience store here.
Six pack. Is it? I thought it was a grocery store.
It's a grocery store, right? It's a big convenience store. It's got a liquor store, beer store next to it. And I was waiting on Jason to get here because we covered different campaigns tonight. Look at that. Still some snow on the beer here. I stuck them out there in the snow while we were waiting just so they'd stay nice and cool. Just to address the noise in the room here, we are in the lobby of our hotel where we've been staying. And we've got some Nikki Haley supporters right over there.
Reporters, supporters.
I don't know what they
are. You been drinking yet?
I haven't, but it's about time to start, maybe. Snow.
What?
He is
wired tonight, dude. What's going on, man?
You know why I'm wired?
Catch your breath.
I'm wired because I am almost out of this place. I love Des Moines. It's a pretty place. I bet it's gorgeous in June, but it is no place to be for a Texas guy in January. I can't wait to leave this. Of course, it's terrible back home too in Texas, but this is different level.
This is rare to see them like this. Current temp. Can you see that?
Braddock.
Current temp?
-9. That's air temp.
-9. That's the air temp. And then the wind chill right now. There's a wind chill.
-29. So
who lives like this?
Not me.
I was a great place, but who lives like this?
Let me tell you what. So I was covering DeSantis tonight. Whiteley was covering Nikki Haley tonight.
Nobody was covering Trump? Why not? Tell them why.
Nobody was covering Trump because everybody knew how this was going to play out. I know that a lot of people don't believe in polls anymore. Polls have really gotten bashed a lot. But
you don't believe in polls if you're on the losing end of a poll.
Correct. This one was unmistakable, though. The polls, former President Trump in the GOP Iowa caucus polls had just taken off. This wasn't even going to be close. The only question was, would it be a record-breaking margin of victory? And so the big game was who was going to come in second.
Right.
And that was close.
That was close. And, you know, the poll over the weekend showed that Nikki Haley moved ahead of Ron DeSantis for second place. That gave a lot of momentum, a lot of press time, a lot of talk to, whether she can actually make this or not.
Yeah.
And tonight we saw that maybe that poll wasn't exactly right because it showed her 4 points ahead of Ron DeSantis, and it has ended up with 2 points ahead.
So we've
gotten ahead of ourselves here. We have six beers to finish before we leave.
Well, some of those will be, you know, other people in the crew.
Look, now this is Twig and Berry, a blueberry Kolsch ale.
Yeah.
From Millstream.
I grabbed this.
Just holler out which one you want. Which one do you want?
Bohemian.
Okay.
Bohemian?
That is good.
These are all Iowa beers. We went in and chose, you know, all
Ames
Iowa
Lager.
Beers. Usually we do a Texas brew, but since we're in Iowa, some respect to them. And there's some good ones here.
Yeah, there are some good ones. What do you have?
Daryl, you with us?
Yeah.
I'll take the lager.
All right. I'm going to have...
There you go.
I'm going to have... This is my favorite here. It's the 99 Pils.
I'm having Pilsner. The Tico Time from Exile.
Why are you shaking, man?
No.
Did you take your medicine today?
I did not.
You are wound
this
up.
This is going to be it.
He's like...
I'm
going to have the Tico Time.
I'm telling you, I can't explain to you how excited... I mean,
dude, I don't think I've seen you this wound up, except when you're like raging mad at work about
mad.
Something.
I'm telling you, this is about like... Iowa, you know, the people here are very friendly, very welcoming, et cetera. It's been great, but I'm ready. I'm ready to leave the frozen, I'm not going to call it a wasteland. It's the deep
wasteland.
Freeze.
Come on.
It feels like that when it's at negative whatever.
Right.
I'm ready to leave the deep freeze and just kind of get a little bit back to normal. You were right after me getting here. By the time you arrived here, I am packed. I've already showered. Like, I'm ready to
Like, you're going straight to the airport right now?
Go to bed, wake up, leave. It's going to be like that.
All right, so I do have a set. Can you see his feet? This is like the fireside chat here. And you got Grandpa up. Wheeler over here.
I'll hold it. Oh. Let me tell you, these are Look the comfiest. Oh, I'll tell you what, I walked outside in -9 in these. Here's the rule.
You walked outside in -9?
It has a hard sole. If it has a hard sole, you are totally okay to leave your room or leave your house with these on.
Yeah.
They have fur lining. And I walked outside in these, I feel warm and toasty. I might be sweating in these socks.
All right, let's talk politics here. So I was at Haley tonight, you were at DeSantis, mm-hmm. and I gotta tell you, you know, I heard one of the national reporters sitting next to me, she went on the air, she was talking about, oh, the energy in this place tonight. I'm like, there's not really an energy in this place tonight because...
Who said that?
I'm not gonna tell you who said it. It's one of the cable news channels.
We'd recognize this person.
Oh, you'd recognize the channel. I don't know who the person, I don't know who the woman was, but she was talking about the energy in the room tonight.
It's cliche.
And yeah, it is very cliche. But there was not an energy in the room tonight. I think that just talking to several supporters for Haley that I know who were there from Texas,
they weren't
that excited. They expected more. Now that's not to say that she didn't do better than she probably thought she would 5 or 6 weeks ago because you know, she's 2 points behind Ron DeSantis, but still, it wasn't that good of a night over there. Haley used a teleprompter tonight. I thought that was interesting.
Wow, okay.
And it was the same stuff you hear on the stump speeches all the time. But at the very end, she had a few, you know, pretty good lines like, you know, I love you, Iowa, but, you know, we're off to New Hampshire tonight. There's a few things that were a little more off the cuff that felt like her. We could not hear Vivek Ramaswamy, President Trump, or Ron DeSantis in there. So I was curious if they were backstage watching this. They had to have been because the way all these work is, you know, one candidate goes and the next one goes and they all wait on each other.
I think actually that, I think Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis spoke at about the same time. It didn't look like that was very coordinated. We were texting back and forth. And I mean, they just went full forward with it.
But DeSantis went first tonight. And
after Trump.
Now, after Trump,
we could see a TV through the curtain.
She was first and the second place finisher.
Behind
he was first.
Podium, you could, behind the podium, the curtain opened a little bit. Yeah. You could see former President Trump on TV back there behind the curtain in backstage.
So let's talk the politics of this. You know, Nikki Haley, her momentum, which she got a lot of press about over the past week, clearly paused or blunted at this point. She's polling closer to Trump in New Hampshire. Here's what I don't know. I don't know what DeSantis' next move is.
Right.
Clearly, he's going to South Carolina. We saw him announce that tonight, I believe.
And New Hampshire.
And New Hampshire, within the same day.
In the same day on Tuesday, the day after the caucuses, he'll be in New Hampshire and South Carolina.
Right. So, but what's his next move after that? Because he's way behind in New Hampshire. He's way behind in South Carolina.
Yeah.
How long does he drag this out? What is his path forward?
Well, and he also mentioned prominently today Nevada. So he's putting that one on the radar and was already talking ahead to Super Tuesday, which, of course, includes Texas. And so, you know, to hear him talk.
Right.
He's chugging along like, you know, nothing's happening. Here's the thing. Coming into tonight, DeSantis kept saying, it's this narrative against me. You know, he very much does like to grab that language of being the underdog, sort of the victim of, you know, media narratives and polling and so forth. And, you know, I'm going to show you, I'll come out. So he seems very comfortable in the role of underdog. And basically he says, you know, he's the underdog who overperforms. Tonight he did that. Again, he was in that close third place finish according to the polls, but then he managed to pull off a second and, you know, by a couple of points there. And so, you know, again, he's, you know, came out tonight, very briefly addressed his supporters. It was not a long speech. He's got flights to make. And, you know, basically, you know, said, you know, they threw the kitchen sink at us. Here we are, blah, blah, blah. That same underdog tone. It's good that he likes being the underdog, because if you look ahead to New Hampshire and South Carolina, he is much further behind in polls than he ever was here in Iowa.
How long does he stay in the race?
Don't know. I mean, the question is, what does everybody else do? And by everybody else, I don't just mean the other candidates. I mean the money. You know, what does the money do? Does the money out there, the donor class, you know, they're trying to pick, you know, who do they put their money behind? And if it's not going to be former President Trump on the Republican side and they're looking for somebody, you know, who can take him on, what do they do right now? Who do they coalesce behind?
You know, right after all the candidates got off stage and you know, started headed to the airport, I got emails from the Trump campain, you know, trying to spin what happened tonight. The Haley campaign as well. This is from the campaign manager tonight. This is a memo about the state of the race. And they're both kind of, you know, attacking the different things that went wrong here. And the Haley campaign says in Iowa, Trump frequently predicted a win by a 60-point margin. He won by 30% in a state which caucus voters are among the most pro-Trump and of any electorate in America. He got 51% and 49% chose someone else. President Trump, they send out a statement from that campaign tonight. And let's see, is this the one? They essentially say that Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis did not meet expectations. Mm. Now I'll say this, neither Haley nor Trump were wrong in their spin tonight.
Both things can be true.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of analysts, you know, going into this wanted to see, could former President Trump pull that 50%+ of the vote? He did get that done.
Barely tonight. Got across the line, but still it only takes 50+1, right?
Right. And so that box has been checked there. You know, my curiosity is just, you know, this is very early going, okay? The former president is treated kind of much like an incumbent would be treated here in Iowa. But, you know, we looked at the stats on this.
The winners.
Yeah, ABC News did a great job of sort of putting this together. And if you look back over the history of caucuses here in Iowa, on the Republican side in particular, it's not very predictive.
They don't choose the winner very often.
Of who you're going to see. Now, you know, that being said, I remember 4 years ago, the big contest was on the Democratic side. And I remember in this podcast, we still didn't have any results because it was such a mess counting votes.
On the Democratic side.
Yeah, but we wondered, you know, is it going to be Sanders or Buttigieg who wins here in Iowa? That's what the big discussion was. Yeah. Well, fast forward to the election, it was Joe Biden who won that election.
And Biden finished fifth here in Iowa. I was with the Biden campaign that night. I remember standing there, and I think Amy Klobuchar even finished ahead of Biden that night. And Dr. Joe Biden walks into the room before, you know, things get going, just to kind of look around. It's like 6:30 at night. And then post-Vice President Biden comes in. And, you know, they're just looking around. No one's going up to him. They're fifth. These guys are losers. How long are they going to last?
Yeah,
you know?
You're not very long. They're going to be out of there before long.
And and then lo and behold, things turn around. 2016, we were here also. Ted Cruz won 2016.
So all of that being said, though, you know, we were looking at how have Republicans fared over the years here, and specifically in the Iowa caucuses. If Republican voters in the caucuses didn't have a Republican incumbent to choose from,
right?
Okay, if it's a contested caucus, they found that the majority of the time, going all the way back in the history of the caucuses here in Iowa, the person who wins in Iowa on the Republican side has not gone on to even become the nominee of the party. Mm. And in only one instance in a contested Republican caucus here, did the winner in Iowa go on to become the Republican nominee and then become president. And who was that?
Teddy Roosevelt or George W. Bush?
It was George W. Bush back in 2000. So it's not always predictive, but as I've kept saying today, it is good at trimming the field, at winnowing that field of candidates. The question is, this time, who drops out?
You know, the Haley campaign tonight was, they still had a lot of energy after she came out, and everyone has energy after your candidate comes out. But I'm sure they're looking to those stats to see, just because you win Iowa doesn't mean that you have a clear path forward. But if you look at Donald Trump, you know, he 50% over, you know, with Iowa tonight. He's leading in New Hampshire, even though Haley is right behind him. I don't know how someone's going to blunt him. Mm.
Interesting.
What do you think? Is there a shot for that?
I don't know. I mean, it's impossible. You know, one of the things about this being the earliest in the nation is, you know, it's great to be able, you know, for them here in Iowa to have this sort of outsized impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
Iowa is less than 1% of the population of the United States. And yet
is it really?
Yeah. About 3 million plus people. And they have this huge impact on our politics and who gets to go forward in the biggest contests in the land. And so, you know, it's good in that sense for them because they do have this outsized impact, but it's so early on that you think, man, all of these other things can happen between now and the time we get to November. So and who knows what happens? Who knows what happens with the trials of former President Trump? Does that shake things up and change the dynamics in the race for anyone who can hang on long enough for that, you know, to maybe start to stick?
Yeah, we were talking ahead of time on whether people would show up because it's, what, -9 out here right now. It's freezing cold. There have been two blizzards in the past 7 days here.
They showed up.
To drop 12, 15 inches of snow. People showed up at the two caucus sites that we were at tonight. It was standing room only, and the results there were a little closer than the results were statewide.
I have to ask you something about that you noticed there, but I will say before I get to that, Representative Chip Roy from Texas.
Was with DeSantis, right?
Yeah, he's a big DeSantis backer. He's a surrogate for DeSantis, and so he was out at some of these caucuses this evening trying to, you know, give speeches, drum up support, et cetera, before people cast their ballots. And man, he was incensed that he says he's at this site and, you know, he's, you know, hasn't even given his speech yet, much less, you know, have people, you know, give their votes yet. And, you know, on the devices, you're starting to get these alerts that the race has already been called just based on the very early votes, because, again, it was so lopsided that the race, you know, the presumed winner was already going to be the projected winner, Donald Trump. And, you know, he was upset about that, saying, you know, that might have impacted some people and made them just say, well, you know, what's the point in even taking part in this? That we, you know, we already have this winner, et cetera.
I'll say this.
I don't know what effect that really
had. He was upset in the soundbite that he gave you. We were all in our precincts, the two precincts that we were at tonight for the caucuses at 7 o'clock. We all saw the alerts come across and just kept on going. I'm sure people in the audience were actually voting there probably saw them as well. I mean, you know, if your candidate's second place, then I might complain about that too.
Right. And, you know, that might be a clever way to lay some groundwork too. If your candidate doesn't end up performing as well as you thought they should that night, you could always, you know, point to that. One thing that they did allude to, though, was, hey, you know, we should all be upset about this, though. Remember how upset you were when Arizona was called pretty early on by Fox News in 2020? But yet tonight, nothing's being said about the fact that this is being called while people haven't even cast ballots yet. They did mention that at the DeSantis camp.
So Daryl Golden is one of our photographers. It's his first time to come up here and watch the Iowa caucuses. And I think he was floored at what he saw tonight on the voting process. On how it happens. But you've seen caucuses before.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, you know, considering everything that has taken place
about
over these last 4
election
years,
security and election integrity.
Election security, yeah. Voter integrity, et cetera, protecting the ballot, you know, you do tend to look at it and go, wow, all right.
So here's the 10 cents on how this works. And I'm sure if you're watching this, you know enough about politics, know how it works. But essentially, at 7 o'clock, everyone has to be inside their different precincts, wherever it is across the state, and that's when everything begins. Polls don't close at 7 like they do in Texas. At 7 o'clock, things actually begin. They show up, they go in there, and candidates have surrogates there, representatives, fans, supporters, and they will come up and they will give a speech and say, hey, I think Jason Wheeler is the best man for the job because he wears these ridiculous shoes, he likes fruity drinks, and you know, he takes a shower and he's really hyped up all the time.
I do smell good though.
And he does smell good. You can't smell him, but he does smell good. And then, you know, each person will come up and they'll give their pitch for the candidate. Yeah. After that, at this place, and the way it usually works too, at the place tonight though, they had these little cutout 3x5 cards. They weren't 3x5 cards.
Right.
It was a sheet of paper, and they had people like cutting them.
Hand cut.
And you hand cut, and they were passing around pens and said, just write down who you want. You heard the 4 or 5 speeches about the different people. You know who the candidates are.
Right.
Write down who you like. All these little old ladies and the men and moms and dads are writing it down. And then
this is the best part.
And then it's on my Twitter feed too. And then they got a couple of brown bags from Hy-Vee, like grocery bags that you put milk in. And they start passing them around the pew, like you're in pews in church.
Yeah.
And like drop your ballot in.
I thought about that
I tweeted this out and people exploded online.
That's exactly what I was thinking when you were describing this. It's, you know, but at church, because I've been to church.
You're dropping 20s in there. You're not dropping little sheets of paper that somebody cut out,
not
right?
Not only that, but and maybe it's just me at church, I always feel like there's someone who is grabbing that collection plate at the end who's keeping a close eye on what I'm doing. Am I taking out of the plate or am I putting into the plate? This is just like people casually passing the bag with you know, their paper vote,
it's
whatever.
Crazy.
And it's a long, you know, it's a long row. And
they pass it around and go just like this.
I think that people on Twitter, and it does strike you. I mean, it's not, you know, a huge deal or whatever. But I think people on Twitter really, I mean, Twitter did what Twitter does. Because they were like, wait a minute, after 4 years of hearing about, you know, election
stolen
security
elections,
and stolen ballots.
And all this and, stuff. Stuffing the ballot box.
This is how we do it? We just pass a paper bag down the aisle?
I didn't think much about it because I've covered a few
Twitter
of these
did.
In the past.
Twitter's not allowed.
Yeah, and so we were just walking out. I'm like, all right, hey, Daryl, let's go get set up, you know, in the other room. Daryl's like, what the hell was that? He starts laughing. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, man, I cannot believe they vote like that. So, you know, of course, we vote with secret ballots. We all go in. We're all, like, private. You can't see who I vote for.
Right.
Here, man, it's just, it's wild to see for the first time. And I guess I hadn't thought much about it, but Daryl's reaction to it made me think, well, yeah, I guess it is pretty wild.
Sometimes
to
it's good
about.
To see things with new eyes.
It is, 100%.
You know what I mean? But, you know, it's the process here. It is an interesting process. It's a process you just don't find in other places. And the ability to sort of, you know, pitch your candidate and argue about it and all of that is, it's unique.
Let me tell you another story about today, too, because we took off and we raced way up to, way up, it's not that far, Fort Dodge, Iowa.
It is when the roads are frozen.
It is, and it was, I took another video of, you know how in storm surge, in a hurricane, the water comes across the road?
Yes, the snow does that here.
Yeah, and so it's so cold here, and the wind's like 60 miles an hour.
Yes.
And it was, I think, minus 26. I put this on my Instagram account, but whatever. All it is like a whiteout of snow. Like an apparition coming across
well, it looks like
the road the whole time.
You know, like junior high dances that you would go to and somebody invested in that fog machine that comes across
that the floor. That blows it across the floor?
It's just like that. And and then you can't see where the lane ends and begins.
Wheeler taking us back to his Footloose days here. Ren McCormick days. So we go up to Fort Dodge, Iowa, and it was an all-star cast of the far right. It was Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Kari Lake, Ronnie Jackson from Texas, Wesley Hunt. Who else was there? There's another. I'm missing. Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan from Ohio was there. I mentioned Congressman Matt Gaetz. And it was odd because I walk in here and I right away I'm expecting something. I shouldn't do this. But I'm going to a rural part of town, a rural part of the state, of any state, of any state. And we're going to a little brewery up there. And I knew it was going to be small and packed. And we roll in. And
what's on TV?
Yeah, and MSNBC's on TV. And there's Trump signs all over the place at this place. And MSNBC's on TV. I'm like,
well, it's a study in contrast.
Yeah, I was like, it's a little weird here. And then, you know, people start coming
in.
That's
hilarious.
And I've covered these places in New Hampshire and places in Iowa, and it's a lot of times it's you're like shoulder to shoulder to see either the surrogates, the big name surrogates like they were there tonight. There's the Haley crowd tonight. What does that tell you about the energy? Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Haley crowd has energy. I don't know where they went after this, but they have energy.
There's some kind of energy happening.
But, you know, after with MSNBC on TV, and then Jim Jordan comes out, Marjorie Taylor Greene comes out, Kari Lake comes out, and it wasn't what I expected because I've been to enough Trump rallies where people go crazy, super excited. Now they clap, and they're like, yeah, we're going to win, but it wasn't as rabid as I fully expected it to be. I don't know what it says about Fort Dodge, Iowa, but it was just not what I anticipated.
So more subdued.
Very
the crowd
subdued.
There was subdued listening.
Now, again, someone's going to see this or hear this if they might have been there. And I think the crowd was more subdued than I would anticipate. It may be because MSNBC was on TV.
Did it stay on TV the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's
I kept looking up. I'm thought any minute now, somebody's going to walk over there and turn it to Newsmax or to OAN or something like that.
You know,
they might have subscribed to that package, though. They might not have the full thing.
True. Now, when the Nikki Haley people just walked in.
Right, we should offer them these beers
right
here. Yeah.
They hear that name and they have to, you know, clap
right.
Again. When they walked in, it reminded me of one thing. I did speak with an expert here at Drake University. She is a professor there.
College
here
in Des Moines.
Yeah.
Private school.
Speaks, you know, about, you know, she teaches about, you know, political rhetoric and so forth. She was a former reporter with the Associated Press, has covered, you know, caucuses before. And one of the things that she talked about with Nikki Haley was that, you know, and we saw a lot of this in ads when we came here on Thursday, She said when Nikki Haley said to those, I believe it was New Hampshire voters, that New Hampshire fixes what Iowans get wrong, she said that is something that could cost her in these final days. Because again,
here in Iowa.
Yeah. The polling was showing Nikki Haley surging here at the end. And that professor, you know, big credit to her, Amy McCoy is her name.
Yeah.
She did say that could be a liability. Things like that.
Because Haley said this with a few days before the caucus.
Yeah, and a lot of hay was made, you know, by the other campaigns, and there were ads that were put out that used that sound and talked about that.
Wow.
And Professor McCoy specifically said, because I'm asking her to, you know, tell me what you think is going to happen in these caucuses, and she's like, prognosticating in these is always dangerous. There's always, you know, sort of these wild cards in this caucus in the final days, and she specifically mentioned that one.
That's interesting. You know, we got a chance to see some TV commercials, some of these campaign commercials that you're going to be inundated with very, very soon.
The gloves are off.
Brutal.
It is.
Brutal. Trump has some up there that, I mean, again, done by professionals, and these are
like capitalizing
over the top.
Oh yeah, capitalizing, showing.
If I'm a Trump supporter, I'm going to love these things.
Right, right, right.
But Biden's got to counter this at some point. Democrats have to counter this, I would hope.
Yeah, it shows that old video of Biden tripping and falling on his way up the staircase.
That's just one element of it. Yeah.
But it shows you that very early on, the gloves are really off on this. I think that this is going to be a more hard-nosed, I'm not saying anything that, you know, nobody else has thought of. This is going to be a more hard-nosed, hard-fought, just fists-out campaign than we saw in 2020.
I just wonder what happens to the Nikki Haley supporters, the Ron DeSantis supporters. Are these never Trumpers? Are some of these people over here hollering? Are any of these never Trumpers?
Yell over and ask them.
You holler at them. They've been.
Why are you afraid? Why have you become so coy?
But I want to go home too, bro. And they've been drinking, and I don't want to have a bunch of drunks.
You've been drinking.
I don't want to have a bunch of drunks from over here talking, man.
You know,
how much of that's going to never Trumpers going to cut into this?
What? Hold on.
The lady at DeSantis rally.
Oh yeah. That's a good point.
Reminding me of
what?
No, I just wonder
how he was talking to me.
I wonder how many never Trumpers there are with DeSantis and with Haley, who are not going to vote for Donald Trump come November.
I think that the polling had shown that if I remember correctly, it's been a long day, it's been a long trip, but if I remember correctly, these most recent polls showed that the Haley supporters were more likely to not go to Trump.
Yeah.
In the end.
Some will.
We can do an informal poll. We've got a whole table full of them right there. And maybe we'll ask them here in just a
second. This will get really out of hand, and we're about to tie this thing off for the night. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes you open a door, and it's like opening that
door
there, and here comes negative 20.
Don't be inviting things in here, bro.
I will say, we did speak with a voter at a DeSantis rally the other day, and she used to
this is a good story. Tell that. Come on. No.
She used to support Trump 2 times.
Well, no, explain this. You're talking to her.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking to her. She's a very nice lady. She says she's been caucusing for 30 years and hasn't missed one. I said, do you mind me asking, who have you caucused for in recent years? And she goes, oh, past 2 times, it was Donald Trump.
But she's for DeSantis this time.
And she's at the DeSantis campaign and at the event, and she's, you know, actually working the phones. She's a precinct chair to get the vote out for him tonight, right?
And what did she say, though,
and
about...
I said, I asked her, I go, okay, well, wow, why aren't you, you know, with the former president this time? And she says, well, you know, there was just, you know, too much going on in his presidency. The Democrats were trying to impeach him. Things just weren't getting done, et cetera. There's too much baggage. He's got the legal, you know, problems going on. And, you know, then she, you know, extols all the values that she sees in Ron DeSantis. And I said, and I asked her, I said, so too much baggage. And she's just like, yeah, too much baggage with Donald Trump. And I say, okay, so what do you do, though, if Nikki Haley...
But before, she was like, we don't need a dictator. He's talking about being a dictator.
Yeah. I forgot the best part.
Yeah.
So she says, also, then I hear him say that he's going to be a dictator just on day one. Well, we don't have dictators here. Well, this isn't a dictatorship. Yeah. This is why we vote. We pick our leaders. And I said, oh, okay. So who will you support? Like, if it's Nikki Haley or Donald Trump, would you still support him if it's not Ron DeSantis? And she's like, oh, yeah.
she would support Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it just gives you an idea just because somebody is in a camp right now, and again, this is very early on, doesn't mean that they don't still say, okay, I'll go to Trump, or maybe they'll go to Biden by the time it's all said and done.
You know, that old, they apply the saying to every state, you know, so goes Rhode Island, so goes the country.
Yeah.
So goes Iowa.
They say it, yeah.
Is not the country.
Not necessarily so goes the country.
Not the country at all.
I really wish you'd take a straw poll over there.
We're not.
No, they won't do it? No labels?
Are they the no labels party? Oh, they're the no labels party up here.
Okay. Oh, they're not for Nikki Haley?
They're for Nikki Haley.
They are for Nikki. Oh, okay. So they're not voting for any of the Republicans.
Oh, okay. Dude, come over here. Come here. This is like
come on,
pieces.
Cody.
All right. So tell me what happened again. So they said the crowd you hear behind us, if you can hear it over
here.
And this
is not a scientific sample.
It's pretty scientific. Yeah.
It's who's in the lobby.
There's nine people over there. It's pretty scientific. So they said that if Nikki Haley is not the nominee, that they are going to vote for who?
No labels. That they will go
for
a third candidate, a third party.
Huh.
Okay. Interesting.
That is interesting.
One last thing.
So Cody's our researcher here, and he's like, you know.
Doing the unscientific samples.
He's bringing the goods tonight.
Okay. So we have to finish.
That's the newest thing we have in the podcast tonight.
It is. It's actually pretty good.
All right, so that's the first half of the podcast.
So we have to finish on this.
Can you see the name of this? Can you see that?
Somebody asked what we were drinking.
Someone asked what we're drinking?
Yeah, I told them about it. We'll take a quick drink and see.
This is
Tweed and beer.
But that's not what you're drinking.
I'm about to drink it.
Oh, okay. He's already had the Peace Tree.
This is
99
good.
Pills.
Oh, is that fruity beer?
No, it's not a fruity. It's a Pilsner.
It's an American Pilsner.
He has the fruity stuff. Now, he should be drinking. This is a berry beer. He should be drinking this.
You know what I'm doing after this is this Chili Buzz. This is, I was told, it's Full-Fledged Brewing Company out of Iowa. I was told, I think this is a jalapeno one that he was telling us about.
Because that's what you want before you go to sleep, right?
And
there,
he said this is legit, the guy at Hy-Vee did. This is the one I picked just by chance because everybody tells me Exile's really good. It's Tico Time, tropical wheat ale with passion fruit and pink guava. It's good.
This is from Amana, Iowa.
Okay, so I have to finish with this. I wonder if that's where they make.
Are we done?
Appliances. I thought we were.
Oh, okay. Well,
do you have more to say?
No.
I'm finishing with this. So we come up to Iowa. We ask people for recommendations on where we're going to eat. And, of course, we always go to Fong's Pizza.
God, you would like that. You would totally like that.
We always go to Fong's Pizza when we're here because it is, they have some unusual combinations, including the sort of deconstructed crab rangoon
pizza,
wonton pizza.
Yeah. It's like a Polynesian pizza joint if you haven't been here before. It's
very cool.
It's one of a lot of cool places to eat in this town.
Yeah, there's lots of them. But here's the thing. We ask for recommendations. We got some good recommendations. Today I had in Des Moines, Iowa, with it a gazillion degrees below zero outside, I had some of the best southern grits that I've ever had in my life. Daryl, don't laugh.
These
grits were legit. My grandma used to make the best grits, okay?
But I would expect to have grits here.
Did you put sugar in them?
I wouldn't expect grits.
Did you put sugar in them?
What are grits? Grits is, it's made of what?
It's like mashed up corn or something.
Okay, well then no wonder they make it here.
It's the corn state.
It's corn country, okay.
Maybe
I don't know anything then. But I had some of the best grits that I've ever had in my life.
I want you to know that Wheeler is in rare form tonight.
Wait.
I mean, I came in, we raced back from the Haley thing. My phone's dead. Everything I have is dead. And it's 100 degrees below zero outside. We have to stop and get gas.
It's the shoes. And I'm telling you, when I'm in comfy shoes,
I go like this to pull the thing, and it felt like the metal was on fire. It was like, it hurt so badly. So I had to do this to pump gas in the car. And I get in here thinking I was going to be the one all amped up, and it's Wheeler who's just bouncing off the walls.
Okay, but here's the best part of this. So we also get in this list of recommendations, and I've heard this from people on Instagram as well. When you're there, make sure you get some chops, okay? Get the chop.
But you know what a chop is, right?
Yeah, of course I know what a chop is.
Well, there's a chop house in downtown Dallas and a lot of places.
Everyone knows what a chop. Daryl, what's a chop? Cody, what's a chop?
Thank you. Because that's what it is. What's the chop house in Dallas?
A chop is always a pork chop.
Oh, so we're in pig country
as
well.
So this guy goes today to a chop house place.
No, we're in the lobby of the hotel where this is happening.
And like, he asks,
I'm going to spend the rest of my per diem, and I'm going to make the Yolitics folks buy us something.
And so he orders the chop.
The Iowa chop.
And he was so disappointed when they walked out with a pork chop.
Dude, they brought it out. It was medium. Yeah. And I said medium rare. I said medium rare, too.
Undercooked pork.
Dude, I know. They brought it out, and they set it down, and it was like this really light color. I'm like...
Still oinking.
Now, dude, thank goodness the chef didn't cook it medium rare.
Oh, my God. That's malpractice.
It was well done.
Malpractice.
I know, dude. I sent it back, man.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I had the broccoli and I had the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, and I called it a night. I asked him, I go, Whiteley, was it at least good? And he goes, no. It was a pork chop. He had his mouth all ready for a steak.
I totally did, man. Yeah, good. And a medium rare steak at that.
God,
and
I'm getting this. I can't take you anywhere. I thought that I was the one in this group that couldn't be taken anywhere. I know that's a pork chop.
So before we let you go, let me tell you about two more recommendations. I didn't get a chance to go to these places this year. The first is the Miller Lite Lounge. Mm-hmm. Did you go to, the Miller High Life.
Miller High Life Lounge.
High Life Lounge. The Miller Lite Lounge is probably something completely different.
Yeah.
The Miller High Life Lounge. Have you guys been, you haven't been there?
No.
You didn't go?
No.
Dude.
We missed it. We got tomorrow morning.
Miller High Life at 8 a.m. So this place.
Well, as they say, it's Miller time.
This place is fantastic. It is a throwback to like the late 70s, early 80s. Everything in there is like Miller High Life. I mean, just the whole place, it's excellent. It's a time warp when you walk into this place.
And then Hessen House,
super cool.
Is that the other?
Hessen House is a German beer hall downtown. Really cool place, but of course the blizzard happened, so we couldn't, we had planned to do a podcast episode for you in there, but we couldn't do that this time.
Next time.
Where else have we been too? Where did we go in 2020?
God, it's all a blur.
We went to a bunch of other places.
2020 is a blur.
Yeah.
And here we are. We keep on saying, we've said this whole trip, last year when we came here, and then you keep realizing, no, that was 4 years ago.
It's like a whole high school career or college career for somebody.
We're going to be sitting here in 2028.
You'll be in the same shoes, probably.
One a real old
Grandpa
man
Wheeler.
And the other young. And
says the guy in these winter shoes.
Guys, thanks for staying up with
us done?
Tonight. Yeah, I think we're done. I think we were done a while back.
Well, Wheeler's ready to go to bed, finally. I guess his... That ADD medicine's kicking in now. Dialing you back some?
Melatonin. so I can get on that flight tomorrow on time. Right, Daryl?
Hey, this also, real quick before we let you go, this was also our very first Instagram Live.
This is our first.
This is our first one.
How many people we get? Five? Six? Yeah.
Two?
Something like that.
Something this like might
that.
Say a fun show.
Aw,
well,
thank you. That was Maria.
Maria, thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
And then Scott Brad has told us about some breaking news once we get back to Texas. Oh,
no.
breaking political news.
Is it? What is it?
If anybody knows, Scott Braddock
knows. What
he
is
said,
it?
I am in Beaumont where A.G. Paxton just held a rally.
Oh, I saw his tweets.
Yeah, Speaker of Feeling.
Yeah.
So wow.
We got to get back there.
So
making good on those campaign promises to campaign against the people who
impeached him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Scott Braddock, I'm sure people listening to this know Scott Braddock, but he is the king at the state capitol.
Yeah, he is.
These days. If you don't follow him online, follow him, follow us, Jason Wheeler TV, and at Jason Whiteley, and on Instagram, at Yolitics. At Yolitics. So, hey, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next year with another episode of the postmortem of the Iowa caucuses.
Years.
4 years from
four
now.
4 years.
Hopefully, if we're still, if we're still going.
I'm not sure which Jason, but.
Oh, yes, Maria from California.
Oh.
What's up, Maria?
Maria.
Thank you. Well, it's like, it's only 10:30 there, so.
And somebody said you all make politics earlier. Interesting.
Aww. We do?
Thank you, somebody.
Gifts wrapped by CJ.
Thanks, CJ.
CJ, thanks.
One last thing before we go, though. Maria, why didn't y'all teach little Jason Whiteley what a chop is? God, how do you not know that?
I want to state now. It's like I feel so let down. I feel so let down.
How do you not know that?
I mean, I'm still hungry right now. I brought a coffee cup full of like salted nuts.
I've got a few sun chip remnants.
All right, that's it. Hey guys, thanks for joining us on the Instagram live feed. Thanks for listening to this late night episode.
Yeah, next time. See you then from Texas.
Click subscribe and get Y'all-itics every week. Y'all-itics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.